Once again, it's good to be with you this day, this beautiful Lord's Day. It's good to see all of you who have come. One special person of note, it's good to see Brother Louis that's with us. I know his heart is here, I know his heart is at home, and I know it's a struggle, but it's good to see him and knowing that he is wishing well to his wife and his newborn daughter who's at home. And he has now entered into a new realm, the realm of fatherhood. And we're going to give him all of our prayers and our blessings that we together can help him in this endeavor as he goes through this life searching for those things that God would have him to do as he takes on this responsibility. And there's no different for us. And we're here tonight to open God's Word to learn our responsibilities. No matter what our role is, we all have a role as Christian, a child of God, and that we seek to find His will for us. And tonight we're going to study Psalm 139. So if you turn your Old Testament to Psalm 139, we're going to read from there the first 12 verses in total and discuss what it truly means, this statement that is entitled of Psalm 139, and that is, "Search me, O God." And this may have been something that you've studied before, but I invite you to study it with new eyes and new ears, understanding that I want you to see this as a psalm of comfort, not a psalm of fear. Because what does it truly mean to be searched and to be known? Well, let's let this psalm that David wrote about our loving God to tell us. Read with me beginning in verse number 1. Psalm 139 beginning in verse 1. He writes, "O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, You know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it." These first six verses speak of God knowing about me, about you, about a relationship that you have with God Almighty, and how He knows you not just as a number or a fleeting name. He knows you inside and out. Like in verse 1, it begins in saying that you have searched me and know me. It's this idea of being searched, of being thoroughly investigated, about being examined carefully. Not in the sense of which you are violated, or not in the sense of where you're being held captive, but just to know that He knows you inside and out. After all, He is the beloved Creator, and we were all created in His image. That we need to understand that, yes, He has examined us and knows everything about us. And we should find comfort in that, find security in that. For no one knows us better than our God. The New Living Translation translates that verse as saying, "You have examined my heart and know everything about me." Can you find comfort in that? Can you find comfort in knowing that the God Almighty knows you personally? In verse 2, it goes on and says that You know my sitting down and my rising up. You know when I am in movement, in action, and You know when I am quiet and at rest. Wherever I am, You are never far from me, even when I find myself distancing myself from You. You comprehend my path. You have a full understanding of the direction in which I am going. Verse 3 says, "You comprehend my path and my lying down. You're acquainted with all my ways." You know the path in which I am going before I see it with my own eyes. Whether that is a good path or a right path. Whether I am walking down in the path of righteousness or unrighteousness. Whatever direction I am going, You know what awaits me. Long before I do. Now these are not always the same when we talk about the path in which we're walking and the path which He would have us to walk, or that He longs for us to walk, or that He desires for us to walk, yet He is there to redirect us, to put us back on the track that leads to Him and a heavenly home. The New American Standard uses this word of scrutinize my path, which means to examine in detail, minute detail. To have that detail and to be very careful and a critical attention to it, of an utmost importance, not just something that just goes by the wayside. For He knows the path in which we are walking and the path which He would want us to be. It also says that there is a way in which He is acquainted with all my ways. And another translation adds the term intimately. Knowing that there is a deep relationship and a concern. That our God loves us and knows us and is concerned with the path that we are taking in this life. He says, "You know everything I do before I even do it." Verse number 4 we read says, "For there is not a word on my tongue." Even before there is a word on my tongue, He knows what it is that we will say. You know what I am going to say even before I say it. Why? Because God is all-knowing. He is omniscient. He knows all things before things happen. Can you find comfort in that? Can you find comfort in knowing that no matter what you go to God in prayer with, He knows what you need. He knows what you'll ask. He only asks that you ask Him. In verse number 5, it says, "You have hedged me behind and before." When I studied on this word hedged, that's not something that we use in everyday language. But what the definition of this word truly means in this context is that it means to be enclosed, to be surrounded, to be protected, knowing that His hand is around His children and protects those as they ask. It's not necessarily meaning to confine or to restrict or to bind something, unless you're talking about a way in which it is a way to heaven, and there is but one way to heaven. And one way to the Father, and that is through the Son. But understanding that His hand is always upon me gives me great comfort. It gives me joy. It gives me safety. In verse number 6 it says, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it." Meaning that on our own, we cannot enjoy those things. We cannot have those things. God's Word has been given to us. It has been revealed to us and it has been handed down through the ages. And it has been given to us in a form that we can understand it. That we can attain that which He has given to us. Now, yes, there are great mysteries of heaven that will be revealed to us on the day in which we enter in. But today we have sufficient His mind and His revelation that He has for us. And we have a mind to understand it. "Your knowledge is too great, O God, and wonderful and powerful, and I cannot always understand it or comprehend it completely. For I am weak and You are strong. But thanks be to God, He has given us His revealed Word." Looking at these 6 verses, we must understand and notice that God knows us for who we are, each individually. And we must know that there are nothing that we can hide from Him. He knows all about us before we know and define it for ourselves. That again, this is to bring about a feeling of comfort, not fear. To not feel that we are constantly under the microscope. But let us find comfort in knowing we can go to Him and not need to explain what it is we're feeling, or what it is we're doing, or try to bring Him up on the events. He knows. He cares. And let us go to Him humbly with those things. Continue on reading in verse number 7. Psalm 139 verse 7 says, "Where can I go from Your Spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. In looking at these verses, we can see, beginning in verse 7, that you cannot hide anything from God. Wherever I go, there you are. Not even those things that I try to hide from my family or from my friends, or possibly even hide from myself. God sees and knows all things. The New Living Translation translates this verse as saying, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. God is omnipresent. He can be anywhere and everywhere. There is nowhere that we can hide or escape from Him. Whether it be in heaven, or it be on the earth, or beneath the earth, even in hell. Now, He doesn't reside there, but it is open to Him. It is known to Him. We can read in John's revelation of the Jesus Christ, in Revelation 1 and verse 18, it says that there He holds the keys to Hades and death, that not even those doors can close Him out. For there's no escaping the judgment or the hand of God. That's kind of what Paul was writing in 2 Corinthians and in chapter 5. Where he says in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10, he tells us, says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Not only can we hide today from Him, but the things that we do and have done and will do, God knows. And God will have a record of that. And there's no escaping that day of judgment where we will give an account for our lives. But let us not find that in a way of fear. Let us not dwell upon that as being a scare tactic for salvation. Let us find comfort in that, to know that He knows us, to know that He loves us, to know that whether we are riding high on our horse as we're living our life, the days are good, the times are grand, and we're feeling best about ourselves and our entire life, or whether we feel we are scraping the bottom of the barrel in a hole that we are in that we cannot see the top, God sees us. And God can be there. He can be there to lift us up with His loving hand. Or He can also be there to knock us down off of our perch if we're standing upon our box above everyone else. There's great comfort in knowing that that is not only given to me, but given to all of us and to all of mankind. It's as fair and an even playing field as I've ever seen. Because it's by the hand of God, not the hand of man. In verse 9, it goes on and says, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. Even to the ends of the earth, the highest of mountains and the land, or the deepest of seas, God can be there to guide me, to protect me, to comfort me, to console me, to keep me on the straight and narrow. Verse 11 says, if I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. that indeed there is no escaping you, not even the cover of darkness. It was He that brought about the light. It was He that separated and made day and night, the light from the darkness. He is God Almighty. He is the ruler of all things. Now there are many things in this life that we see. Things that are trying to be hidden in the darkness, swept underneath the rug, shoved in the closet and the door shut. Now, yes, it is true that there have been many who have been able to do things in their life that they knew necessarily weren't right. They were able to keep that from those who were closest to them. But God knew. God knew the circumstance. God knew the things that they were doing. And it's no different for us. Let us as Christians live our lives always walking in the light. For there all things will be revealed. And let us hold our heads high knowing that we have a God who loves us and comforts us and helps us through those times. There is no escaping Him, not even in the cover of darkness. For He made all things and all things are under His control. God can go anywhere, and He can go everywhere with me and for me. And He does the same for you. He does the same for everyone who calls upon Him, who gives their life over to Him to serve Him faithfully. Now there is a difference than what you might hear the people on the streets or the people around you or the people in your neighborhoods or that you might work with. Those maybe even that consider themselves religious by nature or by choice. Many will say that God is everywhere. And in, I guess, a broad and technical sense, on the surface, I can see where one might agree with that. But it is my belief that God is not everywhere in the world because the world is full of dens of sin. I believe He can go there. I believe you will not find Him there. Those places where we see day in and day out with the flashing lights, with inviting those things to satisfy the wants of the flesh, those desires that are all around us to bring pleasures upon ourselves. Those things that would corrupt not only the body, but also the mind and the heart. I dare say you will not find God in those places. But don't think you can hide from Him there. There's a lot of times a lot of people will hide from problems and things like that. They'll hide from situations that they've gotten themselves in that they don't know how to get out of. But know this. Know that God sees those things. And knows if you need Him in a situation that you're in like that, I believe you can call upon Him. Call upon Him to help you with that struggle. And He'll find a way to bring you out of that situation. If you're willing, if you're honest, if you're humble, and if you're faithful to Him. I do believe that if you go to places like this, though you hide that from your family and from your friends, you will not hide it from God. So bring those things to light. Because He does have the power to come into those places and those deep, dark secrets within your life. And He has the power and He has the strength and He has the authority to drag you out of those situations. Sometimes kicking and screaming. But if you're serious about a home in heaven, if you're serious about a commitment of putting Him on as your Lord and your Savior, then He will fix those situations for you and give you the strength and the power and the tools and the brothers and sisters to help make that happen and return to those places no more. God can and is willing to go anywhere and everywhere for one of His lost. Isn't that why He sent His Son? Isn't that what we read about when we read in John's Gospel account in chapter 3 and verse 16? It explains this love that God has for each and every one and the desire for each and every one to join Him in heaven. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Do you find comfort in those words? Do you find comfort in knowing that, yes, He has searched me and He knows me and He loves me? I find comfort there. I find comfort in knowing that there's nothing in this world that I will go through that I cannot claim victory over without His help. Now, I've found there's many things that I can't do on my own. And I'm sure there are more of those lessons coming ahead. But knowing that I serve a loving God, I serve the powerful God, I serve the Creator and Knower of all things, there's nothing that can hold me back. And that is what you as Christians have as well. Find comfort in the fact that He knows you and that He loves you and that He desires for you to spend eternity with Him in heaven. Allow Him to search you. Allow Him to know you and give your all to Him. For what is the benefit of having that relationship with Him? The benefit is heaven. The benefit is the glory that He has, that He has promised to those who are found faithful to His purpose and His cause and His will for you. Just like we talked about this morning, an invitation is something that has been offered and has been given. He is offered to everyone eternity in heaven. Free from toil, free from tribulation, free from pain and persecution and sickness, and I dare say from alarm clocks and potholes and rising gas prices and everything else that sticks and turns on our minds that makes the days that we're living more and more difficult. But there is something that we must do in order to have that. We must give ourselves to Him. We must believe in the words that we have read this night. Believe the words that He has given to us to be a guide of our steps. We need to believe on those things. We need to act on those things. We need to put aside those things in our life that separate us from God. We need to understand the rights and the wrongs and pursue those things which are right and justified in His eyes over our own. And identify those wrongs and do them no more. We're to be washed clean of our sins and dedicate our lives to serve Him first and foremost. That is what He offers in exchange for our obedience. Is it worth it? I say it is. Heaven is worth it all. And that's where I want to go. Is that where you want to go? Do you want life eternal with the Maker? It's been made available. What is your relationship with God? If there's anything that we can do to help you, to strengthen that relationship, please let us know. If you've not put Him on in baptism and are not walking faithful in His service, what is stopping you? Because I'll tell you what awaits all who are found faithful, and that's heaven. And this book tells us what awaits to those who are not found faithful. And that's a life of eternal torment, of sadness, of pain, and suffering. I long for heaven. Do you? If there's anything that we can do to help you to draw closer to God this very night, please let us know that now as we stand and as we sing.